evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 22, 2019. South Sudanese politicians are racing against time to form a new government.
Even if we extend the transition period, we will continue to remain with the same parties, with the same mechanisms, with the same members. And I don't think there's something new that will be added into the implementation.
And a veteran South Sudanese politician blames rebels for the lack of peace in his country.
You must organize yourself well in order really to achieve this what you want. Now, if the opposition have not organized themselves well, who are they blaming?
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. But we first go to Sudan, where reports out of Sudan say the Sudanese Professional Association has suspended talks with the ruling military council for the council's failure to transfer power to civilian government. The group has led protests that forced former President Omar al-Bashir out of office. Alamin Shangari, a member of the Political Bureau of the November 27 movement, says, in addition, the ruling military council has been too close to former President al-Bashir.
The military agree with the protest at the first day that they are going to agree with them on all what had been signed before. And what happened now, there is some delay in their part. And number two, the military starts contacting some of the parties who were part of the al-Bashir system. So for that reason, the protesters feel that the military are not serious to carry on what they promised in their first announcement 4 days or 5 days ago.
So what do you think is going to happen next now? What's going to happen?
Now I think we are going to just wait for the military with their reaction. We hope that they will be wise enough to agree with the protesters and to sit down with them and to sort out all the problems so they can return back to the table. If the military council continue on the same program or the same schedule of al-Bashir, then things will not be good.
We keep talking about the military. Did the civilian groups put forward any names that they would like to see in the transitional government?
No, they hold on announcing names. They said, now let us finish the first, which is to make sure that the military council will agree upon the first important issue, which is to release the power for the Sudanese professional gathered. These Sudanese professional gathered are the only group of Sudanese civilians who had been agreed upon by most of the Sudanese people as the representatives of them. And we don't want other parties to speak on behalf of the Sudanese except the Sudanese professional gathered.
There was a story on Sunday that the military-led government is planning to send a delegation to Washington to get the United States to drop Sudan from the list of countries that sponsor terrorism. Do you think that should happen right now?
I heard that in the news that they are going to send a delegation, and I think that will be a good relief by lifting all these sanctions against Sudan.
Even when the military government has not made possible a smooth transition?
We expect actually a press release from the Sudanese professional gathered about this issue. Are they going to help the military council on that issue, or are they going to contact the American government to stop that initiative?
That's Alamin Shangrai, a member of the Political Bureau of the 27 November Movement, speaking to my colleague James Buddy earlier today. Some Sudanese in Juba say even when the military in Khartoum hands over power to a civilian-led government, the new government should learn from the mistakes made by former President Omar al-Bashir. The Sudanese say they expect a new government in Khartoum to resolve conflicts in the Blue Nile and Nuba Mountains and Darfur, and also to unite Sudanese people both inside and outside the country. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
Some Sudanese in Juba described Bashir's role as dictatorial and say the ousted president often did more to divide than unite the Sudanese people. They also blame Bashir for South Sudan's separation from Sudan nearly 9 years ago and for the deadly attacks in Darfur, Blue Nile, and the Nuba Mountains. Elamin Sharif, a native of Darfur who is studying for a master's degree in international relations at the University of Juba, says Sudanese suffered greatly Bashir's 30-year rule. Sharif, a former leader of the Association of Sudanese University Students in South Sudan, says any new administration in Khartoum must draft a new constitution that separates politics from religion.
Sudanese people, in the coming times, they are in the accident. They don't want even some of the members of the Islamic regime to be the part of the transitional period, which is mean that the nature of the constitutions will be based on what? On the civilized constitutions, which will be separated the issue of the religions from the politics.
Sharif says the protesters achieved the aspiration of many Sudanese.
We are proud for civilized way of rebelling against the dictator regime. And I think as we are the new leaders, we have to make sure that we have the second duties. Because we have first generations, which they are fight against colonizations. And as we are the second generation right now, we have to fight against terrorists and dictator regimes. And then we can make sure that there is a chance for us to play the role in building of our country.
Sudanese Mohamed Omar accuses Bashir of recruiting and sending Sudanese youth, including some from Darfur, to fight for the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq.
Sudanese need to be a stable country with the peace, and the citizens of Sudan also, they have to respect themselves, and they will get the right leader to keep them peacefully, whether they are abroad or in Sudan. And then I hope they will, a new government, they will disarm those Janjaweed and freedom fighters to bring them in the country, and then they join in national army, whether it's police or national security.
Omar says if a new civilian-led administration is established, it should prevent Islamic extremists from entering the country, something he says he failed to do.
We want to stop those who are come, like Al-Shabaab, like Al-Qaeda, like Boko Haram. They do something not really except with Sudanese people. And then they'll get a document from the Sudan, and they go to do, they join other non-acceptable people, like those people we want to stop. And then we want to...
Another Juba-based Sudanese citizen, Isha Abubakar Abdallah, says Bashir should be brought to The Hague and face the International Criminal Court's charges of atrocities, genocide, and crimes against humanity Bashir is accused of committing during his presidency.
After forming the transitional government, that government should be responsible for handing him to the ICC. If the ICC demands for his arrest, because this is the highest international court for such indicted individuals.
The Sudanese Professionals Association, one of the main organizers of the protest, said it would suspend talks with the council and continue the sit-in in Khartoum amid differences with the transitional military council over demands for civilian rule. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Ugandan authorities are explaining why they asked Robert Chagulani, also known as Bobi Wine, to cancel his Easter concerts. Chagulani, an outspoken critic of Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni, and 30 others were charged with treason in August after authorities say his supporters threw stones at Museveni's motorcade during an event in Arua. But spokesman for Uganda's police commissioner tells my colleague James Batty that the concert organizers failed to meet public safety and security standards.
Following the fact that we've been having policing challenges in a number of music shows, concerts and promotions, we came up with new guidelines on safety and security regarding music concerts, and we called the major promoters behind a number of music concerts, and we gave them the guidelines. Among the many promoters that we met, the promoters of the Charanga concert who promote Bobby Wine's music, and because we've been having poor track records with the Charanga concert, where you'd find we have, at the end of the day, would get involved in multiple incidents of public nuisance due to overcrowding. You'd find incidents of hooliganism characterizing. And then the community around Busawara, which is one of the beaches that he has, was also complaining about violation of traffic rules and various misconduct.
Isn't it the number one responsibility of the police department is to ensure public safety, and that instead of canceling a concert, that the police job is to make sure that whatever the nature of the concert, that it takes place, but that the police are there to make sure that everyone is safe?
Yeah, that is our main mandate. But you know, where it comes to some of these private events, there's a role where you find proprietors, other stakeholders in the private sector coming up with private policing to support the public policing roles that we do carry out. And I also believe where you are in the America, it is not totally left to the police. The police comes in to augment and support the private policing initiatives that are there as far as music concerts are concerned. So it's not something that you leave for the police alone.
The Honorable Robert Chakulanyin, or Bobby Wine, is a member of parliament, but yet he's also a critic of President Museveni. Some people say that the decision to cancel his concert is a political one that the police have made.
It's not in any way connected politically, but of course, you know, people are subject to their own judgment, a number of sentiments, of course. If it was something political, probably we could not even have allowed him to go about with his other grassroots arrangements, where he's been teaming up with other opposition political groups and carrying out campaigns and other sensitization drives and so on.
That's Fred Inanga, Uganda's spokesperson for the police commissioner, speaking to my colleague, James Batty. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a religious leader in Yei is calling for South Sudanese to reconcile before the formation of the transitional government of national unity. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your definition of a life well lived?
When you accomplish your set goals. Take for example, when you say, I must finish university, even if you don't work, as long as you're finished, there is no problem. Even if I die today after finishing.
When someone is living a godly way, focused on achieving his or her own goals and trying to be morally upright.
Though it's not everybody that actually have a dream, but there are some this set of people that have a dream and then working towards to achieve that dream.
A life well lived is one where one is able to fulfill his dreams, his aspirations, his goals, all that he wants before he dies.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. An opposition politician in Juba says the new transitional government of national unity should be formed on May 12, as stipulated in the revitalized peace agreement. Other opposition political party leaders say the timeline for formation of this government has lapsed. Wake Simon Wudu has this report for VOA from Juba.
Opposition official Peter Mayen Majongdit says, as a signatory to the peace agreement, he believes that extending the pre-transitional period for 6 months will not solve anything.
Even if we extend the transition period, we will continue to remain with the same parties, with the same mechanisms, with the same members, and I don't think there's something new that will be added into the implementation. So it will be a continuation of the business as usual.
Mayen says while a lack of funds and other issues hinder the implementation of the peace process, he believes forming the new government on time will enable the former warring parties to address their existing challenges.
The most important here is that we have to form a government of interested parties, where all of us, the five signatories to this, the five parties to this agreement, will be part and partial of the implementation. And therefore, there will be no delegations of powers. President Kiir will be able to supervise the activities directly by himself. Dr. Riak will be able to supervise the activities directly by himself.
In his Easter message to the nation, President Salva Kiir said over the weekend that implementing the peace deal depends on the formation of a unity government, and any delays in forming it would be acting in bad faith in the eyes of the South Sudanese people.
I hold the view that any delay to the formation of the government would crush the hopes of our people for peace. It would create a sense of wariness and uncertainty about the viability of the peace agreement, and this is the last thing our country needs.
Kiir called on SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar to come back to Juba and take part in forming the transitional government next month.
Even now, it is not too late. I am inviting Dr. Riek Machar to urgently return to Juba so that we can work together to expedite the process of forming the revitalized transitional government of national unity.
2 weeks ago, Machar called for extending the pre-transitional period due to expire on May 12th for another 6 months so the parties can complete security arrangements and redefine the country's 32 states before formation of the unity government as required by the deal. Puoth Kang Chol, SPLM-IO senior official with the National Pre-Transitional Committee, told the AFP last week that Machar will only return to Juba if the security arrangements have been addressed before the new government is due to be formed. While Machar's deputy Henry Oduor spoke to BBC Focus on Africa on Sunday, and he said IO will pull out of Juba if the incumbent government wants to form the transitional government of national unity by May 12. For VOA News, Amwaki Simon Wudu in Juba.
A South Sudanese veteran politician says missing the May 12 deadline for the formation of the revitalized transitional government of national unity could worry a lot of South Sudanese who want to find an end to the violence in the country. Peter Adwok Nyaba says the SPLM-IO has no excuse for delaying the formation of the new government next month. He says the parties signed the deal in September and were given enough time to implement the agreement.
We're hoping that there will be peace, because you sign an agreement in order to be in peace. If you postpone it, it is wrong. We have spent 8 months of the pre-interim period, and nothing has moved. Nothing has moved.
And precisely, those who are calling for an extension of the pre-transitional period are saying what you're saying, that nothing has happened, and so they are calling for an additional 6 months. But you're saying that 6 months...
No, because they themselves, John, are part of the agreement. What have they been doing themselves? You know, agreement is a compromise, as I say, between people. It's a political compromise. So each and every party has a role to play in that. What have they been doing that they now come after seven and a half months, they come up with that nothing has moved and that you extend it? This is completely wrong. For the people of South Sudan, I think we are mistreating our people unnecessarily.
But will you be comfortable in a Juba that has all the military from all the groups, and you don't know who is who,
and all of them are armed? I've been living in Juba since November 14, and I'm going back on Saturday. That is not my problem. You see, when you are competing for power, you must organize yourself well in order really to achieve this what you want. Now, if the opposition have not organized themselves well, Whom are they blaming?
Professor, based on your intelligence information, has the government prepared itself?
Of course, what would the government do? They have agreed that they would share power. Okay? So the opposition must have its own forces. They must be ready that they are coming to share power.
But the agreement also stipulates...
They should have talked about it earlier. Before signing, they should have seen what are the mechanisms. Because we have been saying that the IGAD mechanism is completely is faulty. It is flawed. It is a mechanism in which there is a participant in the war who is a mediator. This cannot be the case. Uganda is a participant in the war in South Sudan. It cannot be a mediator and a grantor of this peace. Yet, the opposition signed it. What were they thinking about it? Will their eyes close? Were they not part of that thing?
How would you?
Just rubbish. They cannot deceive us.
How would you react to what the opposition has been saying earlier? And in this case, the SPLM-IO, they have been saying earlier that they signed the peace deal for the sake of peace for the people of South Sudan.
Okay, but when you sign the peace, they should have known from the beginning. Peace is signed by people who have a parity in the strength. This is a fact. Anywhere in the world, you only sign peace when you have parity in the strength. Otherwise, you surrender. The government says that these people who have defeated them, they have been imposed on them by the region. This is what the government is saying. Were these people sleeping when people were saying this?
I've also been covering these talks, and that resulted to the signing of the peace agreement. The 2017 cessation of hostility, December 2017 cessation of hostility agreement, was violated right after the parties came from Khartoum. They've been fighting in Yei.
Okay.
And a lot of things have been happening. Now, how would you want these groups to form a government when they don't honor they sign?
What I'm saying, as a Southern Sudanese, as an ordinary Southern Sudanese, I'm saying that they have agreed that on the 12th, and we have been looking forward, that on the 12th of May, they will form the government, the revitalized government of transitional, transitional government of national unity. If they don't do it on the 12th, it is going to be a terrible thing for us, I personally.
But you're talking as a politician. Yes. You know, politicians have different colors. Maybe you've changed your color.
As a politician, my interest is that our people should live in peace. These people are fighting for power. They're not fighting for change or bring economic development to people of South Sudan.
How would you react to people who are saying, those of you who are calling for the formation of the government of national unity by May 12th, have a big appetite for power?
No, I'm not the many of them. I did not sign the agreement. I'm talking as a South Sudanese, an ordinary citizen of South Sudan. These people signed the agreement. And they signed it on the 12th of September last year. Now you come to me now on the 23rd or 22nd of April to tell me that you will not be able to form the government because certain things have not been done. What are they doing in all these 7 months?
That's veteran South Sudanese politician Peter Aduok Nyaba. He was speaking with me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, this past hour. In the second part of this interview, which airs tomorrow, Nyaba talks about the mistakes of the parties that signed the peace agreement in September last year. The bishop of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, Diocese of Yei, is calling on South Sudanese leaders to promote reconciliation as they prepare to form a new transitional government of national unity next month. Bishop Hilary Loate Adeba says many abuses were committed during the conflict. He is calling on the victims and their relatives not to participate in revenge attacks. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Yei Town.
Addressing worshippers at the Emmanuel Cathedral on Sunday, Bishop Adeba called on South Sudan's leaders to admit past mistakes and reconcile in order to promote peace and end the suffering of the people.
We should be able to humble ourselves for the wrong we have done and apologize. Time has come for us, and that enough blood has been shed, and enough is enough. We wanted to sound during this Easter that the people of Yei now should prepare themselves not for the shedding of further blood, but instead to better our lives, where all of us can begin to work for better lives, and the lives of our children, the lives of our women, and the lives of our men.
Adeba called on Sudanese to forget about the past and open a new page that includes supporting the implementation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement.
Let us rise above revenge and embrace reconciliation, forgiveness, unity, and peace. The Revitalized Agreement on the Resolution of Conflict in South Sudan should be the basis of a new peace for South Sudan. So may the end of this Easter season, may it be the end of the war in Yei and South Sudan.
Speaking in Arabic, Yei Town resident 52-year-old Robert Sakata says, although there is relative peace and stability in the state, the nation's top leaders should ensure that those who committed crimes are held to account.
We want our leaders, more especially President Kiir and Riek Machar, to forgive and reconcile themselves for the sake of the common people of South Sudan, because we have been suffering. Our relatives have been killed. Our goats and chicken have been taken away from us without any justice and accountability.
Speaking in her native Kakwa, Lasso Payam resident Emelia Kiden is calling on the country's leaders to end human rights violations against civilians.
We heard from the bishop and the governor of River State that peace has come. For us women, we have forgiven them, and what we want our leaders to know is that we don't want rape against women, arrest, detention, killing, and the looting of civilian properties.
A week ago, Yei River State Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony told a visiting team of peace monitors that state officials are working to reconcile communities divided by the conflict.
Our people are traumatized by it because of the conflict. People fought as brothers and sisters. Others know very well that is a son and so and so who came, probably looted cattle. We need now to what we call have peace building activities in our communities, particularly trauma healing.
Both Sakata and Emelia say total peace and stability must prevail in Yei River State so that they can go back to their farms and produce food for their families. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin, reporting from Yei Town.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Dunia De by Isaka Number One.
Isaka Number One. Big kuna letakon. An mashakil da dunia. Mashakil ketira sabi. Lakin matakafo. Bukura big kuni omtaki.
We've been listening to Isaka Number One with the song Dunia. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.